Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
And we're back. Welcome. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios talking about a big Nuggets winner, at least a nice one, 133. Wow. Yeah. Wow, 133 points in just four periods over Cleveland, 95. Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Chris, man, after a rough couple of games and, I don't know, some weird body language in that Milwaukee game, it was just awesome to see the Nuggets run away with this one. And everybody get to play. The bench is having fun. The starters are having fun. Boy, this wasn't this one not just a win. This is something the Nuggets desperately needed.
Yeah, I think from the standpoint of, first of all, you got a victory. They hadn't gotten any of those in the month of February. So that was good to get the W. But then to do it in a way that I think you can build off of it, you know, it was built on some solid stuff. And so if you're the Nuggets, you know, can you say, for instance, look at the third quarter and say, okay, we played well in this third quarter. Can we build on that in the next game? If you you get Michael Porter Jr. Hitting some shots, can you build on that the next game? Defensively, you were really, really good, especially against Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Those two guards are really attack-minded guards, and they just weren't able to do anything all night long. And so from a standpoint of defensively, A, knowing the personnel, knowing what their strengths are, and then having the ability to take those away consistently all night long, there were a lot of things to build on just that were apart even from the victory. So, from all those standpoints, and then they had a lot of fun, obviously. There were just ridiculous dunks in the game and all this kinds of all that kinds of stuff, too. So, it was well done by the Nuggets, and, it's a good first step to see if they can, play higher-level, consistent basketball.
Chris, going back, if I can take you back to the Milwaukee game, I know we want to talk about this, and we definitely want to get into this more, but it did seem like, just from me, I'm a chunky guy sitting on my couch watching the game, so bear with me, but I'm looking at this thinking, there's some weird body language going on. It looks like Joker's very frustrated, especially with Michael Porter Jr., and we've talked about that with you. I mean, even Michael and Coach Mike Malone. Is there some frustration going on with Porter and perhaps him not quite getting things just yet? Both, I mean, honestly, he can score, but even offensively, just being in the right place, taking strange shots, and then defensively, are the Nuggets getting frustrated with MPJ?
I don't think so. I mean, young players. I mean, okay, let's take it back to actually. I like your analogy. So, if you were at the rec center, or if I was at the rec center, and you're just playing in a game of 5-on-5 pickup, and somebody is just doing some things that are just irritating and getting and costing you this one pickup game, like you might have some choice words for that individual in that moment. And I think that's where we are with some of the moments with Michael Porter Jr. is. In that the what you're referencing, in terms of Nikola Jokic yelling at him, followed like a 2 or 3 possession string of just consecutive mistakes from Michael Porter Jr. And finally, the best player had enough, and he's like, "Listen, you got to get your act together out here. We're trying to win games out here. We're trying to play solid and play the right way out here." And so you get that point across to your teammate, and then it's gone. then the moment has passed, and your points are made, and you move on. And that's how I viewed that moment. Was, yeah, it was very frustrating to watch. A missed assignment, turnover, another turnover, and then it's just, what are you doing out here right now? And so, I think that happens honestly, I think that happens on every team in every sport, everywhere. You just have these moments where you want to get everybody on the same page, and if you feel like an individual's not there, then you're going to do your best to get them there. And this year we've seen Nikola Jokic be much more vocal, much more animated about this kind of stuff, and so he let MPJ know. But I mean, what happened last night? Nothing. MPJ came out. He played great. The Nuggets didn't even need Joker to score a bunch of points for them to win. And so lesson learned, and everybody moves on and you get on to better things. So I don't think it has deep roots at all. I just think that you're going to have these heated moments in the course of a season, especially when you're a team like the Nuggets and you're expected to do big things, and instead you're hovering around 500 and you're not playing exactly the way you want to play, and now you're making these mistakes that you feel like shouldn't be made. And so you're going to have these boiling points, and I'm not so sure that that'll be the last one for any combination of the teammates if the Nuggets can't quite get themselves back into a consistently good space. So, I think they're fine with MPJ. I mean, they also understand that there's going to be mistakes made with a young player. Still hasn't played 82 games in his entire career yet, yeah. So he still hasn't even played a full season. So, what you don't want to see are mistakes that you think are preventable. And I think that's where teammates will get more upset. Not that you haven't seen this defense before, you haven't seen this player before, or they're covering you in a different way that you haven't seen before. We can all understand that. But if you just run down and you throw an errant pass to another player, and then you come back and then you throw another errant pass somewhere else, well, then that's frustrating. And those are things that are totally preventable and you don't have to do. And so other players are going to speak up.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. How about the other source of Nuggets talk? We were talking about how great Joker's been. Michael Porter Jr., will he grow? Jamal Murray, we've talked about the injuries, Chris. And again, going back to that Milwaukee game. And I listened to the Zoom afterward. I didn't catch it live, but I listened to the press conference, and I felt for the guy, man. I mean, there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of pressure. But what is there more going on with Jamal Murray? Mentally, obviously, we know physically something's happening, but you could really hear and sense the frustration in that Milwaukee game and then after that game in the post-conference.
Yeah, that was a frustrating game for him. I can feel that for Jamal Murray, probably the weight of everything probably came crashing down just in that one game, because you're talking about you get off to a good start at the start of the season, and then you start getting injured, and it's your elbow, and then it's your shoulder, and then it's your knee, and you're not playing consistent because of that, and that's very frustrating. And then I'm kind of fast forwarding a lot here, but then you have this game against Milwaukee against one of your former teammates and Torrey Craig, and he just hounds you all night long, and forces you into another bad shooting game. And, when you look at the totality of it all, you are just kind of exasperated at that point. Okay, first of all, I don't feel great. Because I don't feel great, these injuries are impairing my ability to be able to play consistent basketball. And then you come out and you really just don't shoot the ball well, and then really are just forced into a bad game by a guy who you used to be teammates with. And it is a very frustrating place to be in for Jamal Murray. And, for him, honestly, the All-Star break can't come fast enough for him.
Because
he just needs a week to be able to get his body together, maybe just kind of decompress a little bit, and then come back fresh in the second half of the season. But also there are a couple of more weeks to be played here in the first half of the season. And for him, it was also good, I think, that the Nuggets, that blowout victory was good. You don't have to tax either him or Nikola Jokic in that game. He was 8 points on 3 of 6 shooting in that game, four rebounds, 4 assists. Did what he had to do, got off the court, and then was able to enjoy the show from the bench as well. So I think those moments of levity are going to be really good for him too. And so we'll see. The Oklahoma City Thunder are coming tomorrow, and Lugans Dort is going to get on the court, and he's going to try to hound him in exactly the same way as Torrey Craig did a couple of games ago. And can Jamal work through that? And if he can't, how frustrating is that for him, and will that frustration manifest itself into maybe not effective play on the basketball court? So, the one thing that I think we know about him is he has been one of, if not the most tough-minded player, mentally tough player on this team, and so that's getting tested right now. He's walking through the fire, and we'll see, how he comes out the other side. I think he will. I mean, he always has. I mean, he just always has. But it doesn't mean that it is not a frustrating experience for him right now. And it certainly is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the matchups too, as you mentioned, with the way Torrey Craig played him too, and how teams come at him defensively. Last night, as you said, it was a nice opportunity for the Stars to get some rest. They didn't have to do a whole lot. You know, Joker still had a heck of a game, 12 points, but didn't need much more than that. We got to see a lot of the young guys, and Zeke Nagy, RJ Hampton, who we've been seeing the last handful of games. And I'm excited. I'm not getting too pumped, because that was one of those nights, Chris, where it just felt like everybody was just rocking. Everybody was a superstar. But I'm excited for what the future holds in both RJ Hampton and Zeke Nagy.
Yeah, Zeke Nagy, wow, 4 3-pointers, huh?
What was the technical, man? What was that about?
Yeah, he got the technical for celebrating the dunk. So when he dunked on, I forgot who he dunked on.
I forgot too.
Yeah, but so, you know, he's tapping his head, looking at him as he's going back down court, and I was like, yeah, he's going to get technical. Yep, there's the technical. But, you know, I was on the radio call, and I said, because I'm not even mad at him. Because,
yeah, no.
You know what? You know, he got in, he dunked on a guy, and, you know, that's I'd be excited too.
Yep.
But he played great, and, you know, he mentioned to us after the game, he said, you know, coach always tells him stay ready, and then he did stay ready. And when he got his number called, he was energetic, you know, on both ends of the court. He was dialed in, and then obviously the jump shot was really rolling. And I think that's just the one thing that maybe a lot of people didn't know about his game coming out of Arizona, because, you know, they played him basically free throw line down toward the rim as a kind of a more of a traditional big man. But his ability to step out and knock in 3-point shots is pretty significant. And when he really gets it going, you can see what he did. I mean, he scored 14 points in 19 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And so it was great to see him be able to do that. RJ Hampton has basically been in the rotation for the last couple of weeks. I mean, ever since Campazzo went down with the injury and they had to play him more, he's earned more and more and more playing time. And then, I mean, his dunk yesterday was just ridiculous. Once you thought that Zeke Nagy's dunk was really good, brings everybody up out of their seat. Then you get RJ Hampton, and wow, I mean, Teddy Osman was the guy who he dunked on. I won't forget that one.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, it was crazy. So, but RJ Hampton has been putting good stuff on the court for a while now, and it really begins with his energy on the defensive end and with rebounding. He really rebounds the ball and jumps high and gets it. I mean, so those two things have kept him on the court. We're starting to slowly see little flashes of his offense as well. And that's what he came in being known for, was like, wow, this guy is explosive to the rim, and offensively you're going to love what he's going to do. And then, you know, but he's a work in progress defensively. Well, it's been in the reverse right now. Defense has gotten him on the court. Offense is coming along. We saw a little bit of more from his offense yesterday. I mean, his future really, really is bright. You know, they've gotten some really dynamic and athletic players that they drafted, and it's going to be fun to see them come along.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Well, like you said, OKC coming up later this week, and then get back at it Sunday, rematch time against the Lakers. So hopefully the Nuggets can get it rolling against OKC and bring one heck of a matchup coming up Sunday, man. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, and then, you know, we started this segment. This is why it was important to do what they did against Cleveland. I mean,
yeah,
this is the foundation that if on Sunday you're able to put yourself in the space to beat the Lakers, you can point straight back to this game as to being the start of the good stuff that you're putting on the court. So it's important that they did that against Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland's not a very good basketball team. They'll step up the competition a little bit against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if they're able to kind of repeat that, then obviously you step up the competition to the best team in the NBA. But, I mean, not record-wise, because that's the Utah Jazz, but I think we all think that the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. And, you know, so your competition level has risen in each of the three games. Can you consistently put good basketball on the court as well?
That'll be the big test. We want to see that consistency really start to take hold. And I know there's a lot of teams, Chris, in the NBA that are kind of battling the same thing. I mean, no one's necessarily running away. So that's kind of the one thing that's still keeping me from getting too concerned. But we'll see. I'd like to see the Nuggets start to put together a really good February. Chris, always appreciate you, my friend. Coverage details for tomorrow night?
Yeah, Altitude Sports. We'll be on at 7 o'clock game, so we'll be on at 6 with the pregame show. Tip off at 7. Got the postgame coverage afterward. Got all kinds of little social stuff going on during the game as well. So we'll have you covered. I will be on the radio broadcast with Jason Kosmiski. You know, and so I think that pregame starts at 6:30. But yeah, we're everywhere, and so we got you covered. Radio, we got you covered. TV, obviously, we got you covered. Social. So anything that you need to know about how the Nuggets are doing, how things are going, how the game is going, we'll have it for you.
I love it, man. Chris, appreciate you, man. And yeah, let's see where the Nuggets are this time next week. Maybe we'll be talking about a couple of big W's.
Yeah, and geez, a couple of big W's might get you back into the top four. I mean, everybody's so tightly bunched, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, no one's pulling away yet. That's the thing. That's the thing to keep an eye on. Chris, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, 42 minutes after the hour. Thursday night special coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.